If you would please remain standing for our gospel lesson today, found in the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 31 through 46. Hear now God's word. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will tell them, "I assure you, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you gave me no clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?" And he will answer, "I assure you, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. This being the last Sunday of the Christian year, and as Jane reminded us and told us about what that means, and if you remember what was going on in the 1930s when this came back into being, you know that Hitler was trying to move across Europe, the Japanese were trying to move across China. And kind of everything was in turmoil, everything was in flux. You know, it hadn't been that long since World War I was over. And, you know, before World War I started, you know, social Darwinism was kind of at its peak. And they thought, you know, there's never going to be another war. Why would there be a war? Because people are just so good. And then, you know, World War I came along and we found out that people weren't quite as good and magnanimous as we thought they were. That there's something inside of us innately that is flawed and bent. And so we come to Christ the King Sunday and we are reminded of who the King is. We are reminded that there is a King on the throne. And that we are reminded by Paul that it doesn't really matter who or what there are, the people on the thrones, whether you're the president or whether you're the king, whether you're the governor, whatever it is, they are in power because God allows it. Paul says that all authorities are there because God allows it. And I want to also say this too, that it is not a surprise to God who is sitting on the throne. So if your man or your woman didn't get elected the way you thought they ought to, it wasn't a surprise to God. He didn't wake up the day after the election and think, "Oh my gosh, I thought the other guy was going to win." That never happens. God allows all the people that are there, and it is no surprise to him because he is the king, and all these others are just underlings and hirelings and temporary. But he is the king. You know, our world desperately needs the the kind of kingship that Christ has to offer. The pain, the suffering in Libya, the Sudan, Iraq, Afghanistan, and so many other places on earth, in the United States. So many people need to find that Prince of Peace, that King of Kings, that Lord of Lords, because their life is anything but peaceful. And those that rule over them rule not with justice, but with self-seeking, self-serving power. And so Christ has left us here. But not only that, he is here himself. And this passage reminds us of that. Now we know that this is one of the few places in the scripture that really talks about what the end's going to be like. There's going to be the ones who go to eternal life and those who will go to eternal death. And we don't like to talk about that because, you know, that doesn't kind of fit who we are, or who we think we are. But there is going to be that separation. And the difference between the sheep and the goats is not what they believed. It's not what they thought. It's not who they thought was going to get in and who wasn't going to get in. It's what they did and didn't do. Now, I'm not saying that what we believe doesn't matter. It does, I think. It does matter. But Jesus is not going to, when we get to heaven and we're at the gate, and Peter's not going to say, okay, now tell me what you believe. He's not going to say that. He's not going to ask you to say, what do you believe about predestination? What do you believe about entire sanctification? He's not going to ask those questions. Really, Peter doesn't care about that. You want me to tell you what he's going to ask you? Why should I let you in here? And you know what the only answer is? Jesus. It's not that I was a member of First United Methodist Church. It's the blood of Jesus. So, Jesus is reminding us in this parable. We might want to think, oh, well, this person's not going there because they're not United Methodists. You know, they believe in once saved, always saved, so they're not one of us. They're not going to heaven. Or vice versa, you know. Or they don't believe in entire sanctification, so, you know, they're out. Or, you know, or transubstantiation or, you know, whatever. It's not about that. It's about Jesus. It's about him. And Jesus in this passage reminds us that he is present in our world. And we need a king that is present in our world. He's not somewhere off in the sweet by and by. He's, as I heard a preacher say, he's in a nasty here and now. He is here with us. He is present. In the darkest places, he is present. And he is here. He's with us in the messiness. Ever since the garden, he's been trying to find a way back into our hearts. Ever since we said, you know, God, it doesn't really matter what you say. This fruit looks good for me, and I'm going to take what's good for me. And we kicked God out of our hearts. God has been trying to find a way to get back into our hearts ever since. And at just the right time, Jesus came. He came. And he gave himself for us. He gave his life for us. He came not to be served, but to serve. He came to give his life, not to gain accolades, not to gain power for himself. And so the king is here in the face, in the lives, in those dark places. Jesus is there. And thank God for that. That God is there in the midst of the mess. in the midst of these places in Sudan where they're afraid that the bombs are going to come crashing down on them. Where our brothers and sisters in Iraq, Iran, and Afghanistan. God is there in the midst of that. But Jesus also reminds us it's not just His presence with us today. He's left us here to serve. He's left us here to be in ministry and in mission in His world. To actually put our faith into practice. I remember growing when I was growing up and probably in my, you know, early teen years, 12, 13, 14. I remember people talking or hearing it, the terms, you know, well, they practice medicine. Or they practice the law. And I remember thinking to myself, well, you know, they've been in business for 35 years. Sure, they've gotten good at it. By now, they don't have to practice anymore. You know? Because I didn't completely understand. Y'all didn't laugh at that at all. They really thought that was funny in first service. But, you know, when we think about practicing something, I think I like that. And I think that we ought to call ourselves practicing Christians. And if you're not really practicing your faith, then you shouldn't call yourself practicing Christians. You see, a lawyer, what they do is that they go by the precedents. You know, this happened in, say, 1930 or 1825 or whatever it is. This precedent was set. And because of that precedent, that informs how we deal with this issue today. Do you realize that if you don't practice your faith, you don't have any precedent to look back on and say, you know, this is the faith that I had that God showed me then, and now I use that today. And I have that to build on because, you know what? It looks bleak right now, but you know what? 20 years ago when it looked bleak, God was there. And I can remember that. And I can be comforted. And so I grow my faith as the law grows. You know, if you look at all the law books, you know, it's filled with precedents. And it grows and it grows and it grows. And our faith ought to grow and build and build and build. So that I have precedent in my life, so that when a new struggle comes along, I've got something to lean back on and to say, well, you know, God was present in this, and He was present in that, and He will be present in this new endeavor. Now, sometimes it's a good thing that we say, oh, well, you know, I went through this, and it was horrible. This is not anywhere near as bad, but God was still with me. But it might be reversed. That we might have to go through something horrible or bad tomorrow, but we remember all of God's quote-unquote little faithfulnesses along the way. You know, He was there with me yesterday. He will be there with me today. No matter how messy my life is, no matter how, you know, discombobulated everything is, He is going to be there. What we normally do is we practice self-centered living. And the precedent is on what makes us happy and what we want rather than on what the King wants. We need to practice our faith that it involves and it grows. We use the faith that is given to us to seek help for those who cannot help themselves, to feed, to clothe, to give water, to visit, to do those things to the people who cannot do for themselves. We practice our faith so that others can see Jesus. And the reason we do that is because God wants everybody. He wants everybody. There is nobody that He doesn't want. There's nobody too bad, no, even when we think they may be too bad, there's nobody too bad that He does not want. And He is the King. He is the King of kings, and He is the Lord of lords, and He doesn't want anyone to perish. And that's why we serve. We get a benefit from that, but it's not just us. It is the light that is going out into the world. He has brought others into our lives so that we can give them hope Not us. It's not our, but it's the hope that God has given us. And so we give them that, and we want them to know that. I wanted to show you a clip today of the end of a sermon that I heard probably 35 years ago. And it is the best clip of a sermon that I have ever heard, because it reminds us of who God is. It reminds us of who Jesus is. That in the midst of all that's going on in the world, that in the midst of all the strife, in the midst of all those things, Jesus is the King. He is the King. And the Scripture tells us that one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And we need to be reminded of that over and over and over again, so that our lives can be given to the King who is, who was, and is to come.